Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
You're listening to All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. I'm Andrea Gillis.
And I'm Steph Page. We're two Canadian expats now living in Australia and the UK.
Between the two of us, we've been through the ringer in our travels, experiencing missed flights, volcanic eruptions, and even a terrorist attack.
It's not all that extreme, though. We've also experienced heartwarming, life-changing moments and met amazing people along the way. So kick back and listen to All the Shit I've Learned Abroad.
Welcome to another episode of All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. I'm Andrea.
And I'm Steph.
And Steph, you have some super exciting news this week.
Yes. Well, my exciting news is twofold.
Okay.
Part one, Melbourne's out of lockdown.
Woo!
We are free to get on the beers.
Well done, Melbourne. Maybe us Londoners can take a thing or two from... How do you say a Melbournean?
Melbournean.
Okay, I was close.
Yeah. So that's part one. And now that we're free, I'm going to leave. I'm going on a 3-month around Australia road trip.
Nice. That is exciting. You're finally, we talked about RV travel in a few of our episodes. I think in the Out Travel the System episode where we talked how RV travel is kind of going to be the new thing with COVID. And Steph, you've jumped on board with it.
I just leaned in. We're buying a new truck, buying a new trailer, and we're hitting the road.
Nice.
Yeah. So I won't say too much right now because there's some exciting developments and we'll get into it in another episode. But I'm going to see the entire country.
Amazing.
Minus Western Australia because they don't want anyone yet.
That is super exciting. And I'm sure a lot of people listening are very envious because we're all waiting to get out there. But guys, as we said, RV travel, you know, this is the time to do it. We don't want to get on planes. We don't have to travel too far. We don't have to be around other people.
Yeah.
Do what Steph's
doing. I
feel
like 2021 is the year we explore our own backyards.
Yes. And again, I need to do more of it in the UK. But this gave us the inspiration for this week's episode. Steph and I did one of the funnest road trips in Australia. Was it last year now? I mean, it was last year. What year are we on?
Yeah, we're going back to, I believe, April 2019.
Last year, yeah. So I came out to see Steph, and we drove from Melbourne to Adelaide. Now, a lot of that was the Great Ocean Road Drive.
Famous.
So we're going to do another escapism episode today and take you guys through our journey, our road trip journey.
We're going to take you up Great Ocean Road.
Yes, and it was amazing. And this is one of those things, again, I cannot take credit for any of the planning. Mm-hmm. Steph, this was all you.
Yeah.
Because you had done this before. I did. I just turned up. I'm like, put me in the car. Take me to wherever you want to take me. I don't say that to everyone.
It was my favorite kind of trip when my friends are just like, here's my credit card number. Put 50% on my card.
Yes.
I trust you. And I'm like, okay.
I did exactly that. I remember taking a photo of my credit card, my Amex, and I sent it to Steph. And I said, here, just charge whatever you need to charge.
Yes.
Within reason. Yeah. So again, you had done this before. This is one of your sort of top like ticks for people that coming to see you, is it not? Either you go with them or you tell them, take my car and you go on your own.
Yeah. I mean, I've been a couple times and I've now hit that point where I give people my car. I'm like, you can go up Great Ocean Road.
Right.
But it's definitely one of the must-sees when people come to the Melbourne area. Mm. But what was different about what we did is most people just, they go up to kind of the Port Campbell area. They see the 12 Apostles and then they come back. Whereas we did the entire Melbourne to Adelaide haul.
Cruise.
So we did a lot more. Yeah.
Well, we'll start from the beginning, as we always do with our escapism episodes and what we did. And again, guys, this is, I mean, maybe this one's a bit of a travel guide, but we're just telling you guys what we did on our trip.
Yeah, I feel like there were some good things. This is actually more of an episode where there's things people can take out of it.
Oh, definitely.
So let's start day one. And the one thing we didn't think of is we were leaving on the Easter weekend.
That's right. Which I think I should have taken into account because I had planned flying out there on Easter weekend, which is also Easter here. So I get more holidays.
Yeah.
Duh,
I mean, that's what you do. You got to extend those long weekends.
Exactly.
So we started out, we hit the road. Half the time is just getting out of Melbourne. We get to Great Ocean Road. We stop at the Great Ocean Road Chocolatiery. Chocolatier?
Yes. Chocolatier. That's it.
Yes.
I saw the signs that they were just like everywhere on the road. I'm like, Steph, we're going there.
Yes.
Give me chocolate.
Oh, it's great. If you pull in there, it is just, it is massive.
Chocolate.
And it's chocolate.
It's chocolate. When there's that term, like we were kids in a candy store, it's literally that.
Literally.
It's chocolate everywhere.
It is also, I find, one of the best places to get gifts. Like if you're going to buy anyone gifts up Great Ocean Road, the Chocolatier is a great place.
I tried to do that and then I ate my gifts before I made it back to the UK. So maybe
we
go there last.
We did not stay long though because it was Easter weekend. When we rocked up, there was a children's Easter egg hunt. And there were probably 1,000 little children screaming, running around fields. And you and I were just like, oh.
Nope.
We cannot stay here.
It was a lot.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot. And then we went on. So we drove to Lorne. So a lot of times people drive up to Lorne, spend time there, hang around the beach, and then head back to Melbourne. It's about not even an hour drive. So it's pretty reasonable to get to. And we stayed at an Airbnb. And I feel like we just checked into the Airbnb and then head off on a pub crawl.
Yes, the pub crawl. I mean, there weren't many pubs.
Well, there were a bunch of small, quaint ones. We just went from place to place walking up the little road there in Lorne. And then we ended up at a bigger one that was actually run by a Canadian. You can't get away from the Canadians.
Yes, that's right. I mean, everywhere we go, we always go into bars owned by Canadians. It happens all the time, which I don't know what that says about Canadians. But, hey, we're making buck, you know? Like, this is our thing, bars. Beer.
Yeah.
I remember us just, we drank more than we intended that night. I think it was because we met the Canadian guy and, you know, when you're abroad and you meet other Canadians or, well, if you're Australian, other Australians, people, when you meet your people, you kind of just, you know, you start talking and then drinks are flowing. And then I think he gave us a few free drinks because he's like, oh, you're Canadian too. Anyways, next thing we know, we're stumbling back to the Airbnb very late. And we had a very early morning the next morning. Now, a hangover would be bad enough if we were just driving, like having a chill day. I mean, I wasn't driving. Steph was driving. But we had booked quite a big activity for the next day that I would not recommend with a hangover.
This was actually, of everything I had planned for you coming, is what I was most excited for.
Yes.
I was like a child, super excited.
Yes.
Which was fitting because everyone else there
was
mostly children.
And it was not another chocolatier.
No.
Which actually would have been great for a hangover, going to the chocolate factory. But no. The next day, where did we go, Steph?
So we went to Livewire Park, which is this badass high ropes course where, you know, you're 30 feet up in the air.
Yep.
On wires, falling over, but you're strapped in, obviously.
I thought it was just like ziplining. So I had been ziplining before in Costa Rica, and I had been ziplining whilst hungover in Costa Rica. And I was like, it's not so bad because you're just...
It's actually sobers you up.
Well, it kind of sobers you up because you're just zipping through the air. You don't really have to do much work. They just clip you in and you go.
Yeah.
But then when we got to this Livewire Park, I quickly learned that it was not just ziplining. In fact, there was very little ziplining. It was literally like a ropes park where you had to go through all these different obstacles while you're like how many feet up in the air?
Oh, I want to say 30, but feet? I feel like it was higher.
I know. I said 100. Like, we're very... I don't know how high it was. But, like, I'm sure everyone can picture one of these parks where it's up in the trees. There's nets and there's platforms. It was a whole obstacle course. And there's Steph and I, after drinking God knows how much beer the night before, we are, like, climbing over, like, roped nets and... I mean, I remember there's a video of me going over one of those really shaky suspended bridges.
Mm-hmm.
And Steph thought this would be the perfect time to take a video of me. She's like, this is a great video. Let's remember this moment. And I am just like holding on for dear life and shaking and walking across and the whole bridge is moving. And I'm like, I'm going to break this tree down because I'm too heavy. Anyway, so we did this. And the funny part was that there was, I think, three different obstacle courses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we did two of them.
No, so remember, there were five. And after the third one. Five.
Okay. Well, I remember we didn't finish it. We did we did three then. And I remember we got down from the third one. And the guy that was running it, who was definitely being really flirty with us because we were the only, like, two women there.
Of age women.
Yeah. Everyone else was children. Yeah. He's like, oh, are you guys ready for course four? We're like, no, we're good. We're done. And we just took our harnesses off and off we went.
I think what finished us in, though, I think we actually would have kept going. But there is apparently a technique because at the end of every high ropes course, you do have to zip line down.
Yes.
And we don't know how to zip line down gracefully.
Oh, my God.
So there this is. Was, and I'm going to have to post this video. Like, every time we ziplined down, we just smashed into the end.
Here's why. Because our bodies, and I think I figured this out. Again, if anyone's been ziplining in, a beautiful place like Costa Rica, you zipline into the next platform and you've got a break, right? Mm-hmm. Or there's someone there to kind of catch you at the end. But this one, you just sort of, like, crash into a pile of sawdust. And when we watched everyone else doing it, we're like, oh, that looks fine. Like, they would land on their feet.
Yeah.
But everybody we watched was basically children that weighed, I don't know, like...
half of what we did.
25 kilos, 30 kilos. And they managed to, as they zipped down, their bodies didn't turn.
Yeah.
Now, I worked this out. When you're a bigger person, as in just like an adult, and then when you're a woman and you got some weight, like junk in the trunk...
Yeah.
And like junk in the front too. Your body kind of shifts and it turns around. So every time Steph and I did this, we would turn, our bodies turn. So we'd go in with our backs facing the sawdust and then we would crash so gracefully into the sawdust. And it just happened every time. And it was actually like, it got quite painful after a while.
I think the last one we were like, we're done. Like,
yeah. So there's a great video of me again. Steph, you know, she's cackling in the background. And I think we have posted this before, but we'll post it again. Of me gracefully crashing into the sawdust after one of the zip lines. And, I mean, this is why you get travel insurance, guys. Just in case. But thankfully nothing happened.
But then what makes me laugh so much about this place is that, and maybe this is, again, being an adult thing, not being the weight of a child, but they advertise the world's, not the world's, or Australia's longest zip line, or the longest zip line in the Southern Hemisphere. There's some claim they have on it at the end. And it kind of just felt like sitting in a seat, like going around And it was over, and you know, you watch the video on their website, and it's like thrilling, exciting, going all around in the jungle forest. And then you do it in person, and it's like, if you look up, yeah, there's the trees. If you look down, you're going over the parking lot.
Yeah. So this is, yeah, this is, yeah, there is a big zip line. It's not, it's more like a roller, like a one person roller coaster. Like you get clipped in.
Yeah.
To like this metal bit, and then it's like a, they've created like a track. It's not even ziplining really, but it's this track that you go around and you're just sort of swinging and hanging. And while it is a lot of fun, again, you kind of look down, you're like, oh, there's my car. Oh, there's like some children walking in to go into the park. So like, it's super fun, but, and maybe I'm, you know, being a snob about it. But again, what if you've ziplined in a place like Costa Rica, where you literally are ziplining through like a beautiful jungle and you see like some wildlife while you're out there, and then you're ziplining over a parking lot in Australia? You know, it's like saying, you know, when you go scuba diving in the Great Barrier Reef and then you go scuba diving in
Lake Ontario.
Or yeah. Lake Ontario in Canada. You know, like it just doesn't really have the same oomph. But still highly recommend, because it was a lot of fun and it will kill a hangover. It did eventually kill a hangover.
Yes, it did. We felt, I mean, how do I say this? Like, we felt better physically, but yet we're also in more pain physically. But the kind of pain changed.
Yeah, we had a lot of bruises, a lot of war wounds from the high wire park. But it was super fun and highly recommend. If you have kids, even if you don't have kids, it was actually like quite a fun little stop on the way.
Oh, I would still recommend it to anyone.
Yeah, made for some great photos, great videos, great memories, great war wounds.
Well, that's what I really wanted to work in, you know, a bunch of physical things to this trip, like rather than just like driving, drinking, driving. I'm like, okay, we're going to commit to other things.
Because it's so easy when you do a road trip and yeah, you kind of get to your destination. You're like, right, let's hit the bars. Let's see what's in the town. So I'm glad that we got in some physical activity. I mean, again, would I recommend going out boozing pretty hard the night before? Maybe next
Probably
time.
Probably not.
Now, but
yeah.
So once we left there, there was another little spot on the way that we stopped into that was, I don't think, on the original list.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw like signs or something for it, which was a really cool little maritime museum.
So that was in our next town, Warrnambool.
Yes, Warrnambool, that was
yes, it. Yes, yes. No, that was one of the things I knew it was there, but their website and the description didn't really sell it to me.
Right.
But then we realized we were staying just a couple hundred meters away. So we were like, okay, like, I guess we got to go. And I thought it was pretty interesting because you actually learn the thing about Warrnambool is that there were so many shipwrecks there back in the day. There's a lot of volcanic activity out that way. Like a lot of things I actually learned from going to these places. And Warrnambool really gives you, or sorry, not Warrnambool, Flagstaff Hill Maritime Museum gives you a lot of the history about all the shipwrecks that happened there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like how the town came to be populated. Stories about the lives of the people who died on the shipwrecks. It was really quite fascinating.
It was really cool. And it was one of those places that have, what is it, like the old town built in? What's the word I'm looking for?
It was like a village reenactment.
Yes. And I feel like there was a couple of people walking around even in like, I mean, I don't know if they were doing some like show in the museum, but they were in some like old attire.
I was trying to talk to the one guy being like, do you actually, because it was where they make things. They got the fire going and they.
Oh, yeah. He was like a, I want to say like a blacksmith.
Yeah. But I was like, are you actually working or is this like a reenactment here? Like you're pretending to make things or are you actually making things?
I think he was actually making things.
Well, I thought he was too. But then he answered me like he was in character and then he just didn't say anything. And it was, you know, when you just ask someone a question they don't really answer and you're standing there waiting. Like, I was like, what is happening here?
Maybe he didn't understand your accent.
Yeah, maybe.
But I mean, he was quite clearly really making things. There was like
real
fire.
Yeah, like the fire was real. Yeah, that's what
like
I was
like it wasn't a fake fire. So yeah, I think he was. I think he was in like the reenactment acting mode, but he was probably like an actual... Yeah. Is blacksmith the word? Like, what was he making? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's the right word.
Welder? I don't know. Clearly, I don't know what I'm talking about there. But, you know, and there's, yeah, this cool little village. You go and there's like a little pub, what it used to look like back in, you know, the 1800s or something. And then, yeah, there's the blacksmith.
The saloon, the print shop. Like, there was a whole bunch of stuff. It was really cool. It's funny because one of the themes of this trip, too, was a lot of wildlife. And then here is where we encountered our first wildlife. Do you remember? I knew you weren't going to. So Warrnambool, they also have the Tower Hill Wildlife Reserve. And they said to us, they're like, oh, you might go and you may see something, you may not. And as soon as we pulled in the parking lot, koala.
Oh, that's right. There was a little koala up in the tree. I'd never seen a koala in the flesh before. It was very exciting for me. And it was one of those where I was thinking like, okay, we've pulled up to a wildlife park. There's a koala there. That's normal. Mm-hmm. But there were so many people standing around the koala. Like, this didn't just happen all the time. And I was like, Steph, does this happen all the time? She's like, no. So we walked up very slowly. And there was this child that was yelling at the koala. Do you remember? He was like, koala, get down, koala. Come down. I'm like, shut the fuck up. If you scare this koala away, I'm going to... Yeah, I'm going to get real angry, kid. But someone, I think his mother, said exactly that to him. So I didn't have to step in.
You didn't have to shut that child down?
No, I did not. I think that was the only koala we saw in that park, though. Because then after that, we saw a lovely snake.
Yeah, the snake, which psyched you out a bit.
Now, here's the thing. I'm not really, like, I'm not scared of domestic snakes. I have lots of photos of me holding snakes. In fact, I have a photo of me holding a snake in Australia, but a snake in the wild that doesn't have a name, like doesn't belong to someone. No, absolutely not. And we saw one that was like kind of just like slithering under our feet. What kind of snake was it?
You're asking the wrong person. It was a snake.
Right. Okay. In a wildlife park, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. But
well, and then too, they had a number of pretty cool trails, and they had even like there was like a volcano rim trail. Like, we actually did quite a bit there. And of course, as always, I was in flip-flops walking up a mountain, like whinging.
Like, yeah, with snakes slithering around our feet.
And yet we survived.
Yeah, I remember us walking up that. We thought it was going to be quite a chill, easy walk.
Yeah.
It was quite hilly.
Yes.
And I remember it was very hot and yeah, you had your flip-flops on. But once we got to the top, the views were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you can see the volcanic, I don't exactly know what they're called.
So like the peaks of the, it's a dormant volcano. And obviously as you walk around the top, there's like different peaks where you can look over and in, you can look out. And it was really quite beautiful. The way that was very different from what I'd seen before. Like, you could see it was black and ashy from even though it's a dormant volcano, you could still really tell that's what it was, which was pretty cool.
It almost looked like you were staring down at like a lake, like a black lake almost.
Yeah. And for anyone, this is actually something I'd really recommend for anyone heading out that way. It's actually called the Journey to the Last Volcano Walk.
Yeah. But make sure you wear proper footwear.
Proper footwear and take water, because I had neither.
Yeah. And look out for snakes. One very important spot that we missed on our way to Warrnambool was the 12 Apostles.
Oh my gosh, yes.
We skipped right over that.
Oh, we just completely went from Lauren to Warrnambool, and in between is all the iconic sites that Great Ocean Road is famous for. Oh, I just had a flashback, because do you remember it was so busy, obviously, because it was Easter weekend, that the parking lot was full. They said you couldn't enter.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
And as we, so you drive past the entrance, then we drove past the exit, and I was like, oh, there's spots in there, even though it's closed, I'll just pull through the exit.
Steph was naughty. What did you do, Steph?
Oh, and the parking attendant came over. He's like, he didn't even realize I came in the exit. He was mad at me that I backed in rather than pulled in. And he was like, are you stupid?
Yeah, and he called stuff stupid.
And I was like, you are not, I didn't say I'd lived here for years. I'm like, you are not representing Australia well to tourists.
Steph pulled the Canadian accent. She's like, I'm just a tourist. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. What do you mean I can't back in?
I thought we were going to get kicked out of Australia.
I thought we were at least getting the boot out of there.
He was an angry man.
He was a very angry man, but... but whatever, we got parked up, we went and we saw the 12 apostles.
I feel like we saw like two of them, to be fair.
There's not even 12 there anymore.
Oh, well, no. But I remember this was one of those spots that we went down, had a little stroll,
mm-hmm.
but didn't stay for very long.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if this is because you had been there before.
It might be.
And you didn't want to stay very long. I feel like I missed out a little bit on
yeah. the 12 apostles. If you ever come back, I feel like we'll go do it right too. Because we also, that actually I hadn't done before you came, but I've done it since you were here. There's also like tons of other beautiful stops, like Lockhart Gorge. There's a place called London Bridge, actually, with all the different ways. There's a Thundering Cave. Like there are so many stunning stops. Wow, yeah. That was hard to say. And every single one of them is worth the stop. So I actually feel like I wish we stopped at a few more of them.
Yeah, so you stitched me up.
I didn't know then.
You were like on a mission to get to that Maritime Museum. You were like, here's the 12 apostles. Here's one. They all look the same. Let's get to Warrnambool.
I did. And I don't know why.
Of the like two apostles I saw, guys, beautiful. Really stunning, like genuinely stunning beach. Feel like I could have spent more time there.
I feel like we should have spent more time there. I would actually now for anyone coming recommend spending an entire day just exploring all the stops.
As we journeyed from Warrnambool. Now, if you want to skip something to spend a day at the 12 apostles, I would suggest skipping the Blue Lake Tour in Mount Gambier. Gambier? Gambier? However you say it.
Everyone here says Gambier, and I'm like, you are butchering a beautiful French like Mount Gambier.
Well, I mean, you're not really giving it much more credit the way you say it, Steph.
Hey, I thought I was saying exotically and beautifully.
Gambier. Gambier. Regardless. Mount Gambier. Now, one of the things, again, we must have read about this somewhere, was a tour, a guided tour of the Blue Lake.
Which all lakes are blue.
Yes. Now, what exactly is the Blue Lake, though, Steph? Now, this is like something to do with, I want to say, like sulfur.
So the Blue Lake is actually like a massive crater that's in another dormant volcano. It's one of four crater lakes. So they actually have a few of them. Two of them have dried up over the years. So it's actually a crater in a volcano that they believe erupted 4,300 years ago. So this crater actually supplies, and I'm not this, I'm going off of memory from the tour we did, but they generate energy and supply the town's drinking water there. And okay. Yeah, and he was telling us all about how, you know, they're coming up with a strategy as the town's population grows, water usage increases. They're really trying to find innovative ways to maintain this lake, this natural occurring lake.
So this all sounds very interesting to people listening. You'd be like, maybe I want to stop in, take a look at this lake. Now, I remember walking up to the lake. So we're with this guy, and the lake doesn't look super blue from afar. But it was one of those in photos, like, it looked really blue. And we're like, all right, it's probably one of those when you get really close, it'll be, you know, this, like,
breathtaking,
sapphire-y, yeah, blue, breathtaking lake. I feel like as we got closer, it lost even more of its luster.
We looked at each other. This is one of those tours where we looked at each other, because they actually have to let you in through a gated area and take you into a private area. And we're like, can we leave this tour?
Yeah. It was probably one of the dullest tours I've ever done. Now, I feel like maybe this is one of those things, though. I just really don't have any interest in whatever he was talking about, in energy supplying. And, like, to me, this is not my thing.
Well, to be fair, the vibrant blue that it's famous for is kind of the December to March season, and we were there end of April, so I think we missed the time of year when it's very vibrant. But the tour was hilarious, because he was like, and this here is how we can shoot water back into the lake. Does anyone want to see? So everyone in the group was like, yeah, sure. And he just turned on a machine that, like, it was basically the equivalent of a water pistol shooting water.
It was like a giant water, and he was, you know, shooting this pistol and just sort of looking around at everyone, making sure, like, everyone get a good view. We're like, yep, yeah, cool. Yeah. And the thing was, there was maybe like five other people on the tour with us, and
we were all on the same page.
We were all just kind of eyeing each other like, when does this end? But you know what? It's something to do, because I feel like there's not a hell of a lot to do in Mount Gambier. This is where we stayed in the prison.
Yes, we stayed. They have an old jail that they've converted into accommodations, and we stayed in a prison cell. We talked about that in the Out Travel the System as well. It's actually called the Old Mount Gambier Jail? How do you say that word?
Well, it's pronounced jail. Okay. I think it's just, that's how they would spell it back in the day.
Yeah. So it was the Old Mount Gambier Jail. And yeah, it was pretty cool. You stay in an old prison cell, and it was pretty eerie because the walls and the back of the door still had, you know, graffiti and etching from when prisoners actually, when that was their cell, and they would scratch on the wall and door to entertain themselves or to leave messages.
Steph and I left a message for anyone that's staying in cell block number 7.
Yeah.
See if you can find it. But yeah, it was a very cool experience, because I feel like in Mount Gambier, I mean, besides the Blue Lake tour, this was one of those where the accommodation was almost like our activity there.
Yeah.
So we talked about, like, unique sort of boutique-y experience accommodation.
Yes.
And this was one of them.
My actual favorite thing, though, that really surprised me how much I quite enjoyed it was the Umfristin Sinkhole. So the Umfristin Sinkhole is actually also called, like, the sinking garden. So you have to go down quite a number of stairs to get down into the sinkhole. But it was basically once a cave. And it's made up of limestone. And it was actually when the top of the cave chamber had actually collapsed. So what was once a cave, there was a huge collapse, and it just became this massive sinkhole.
Whenever I think of sinkholes, I've been to sinkholes before where I've swam in them, but this was like a big, beautiful, like, secret garden.
Yeah.
There was trees everywhere and, like, hanging vines and beautiful flowers. I mean, this was one of those things, you see it in a photo and then you see it in real life. It's even more stunning in real life.
Yeah. And
not like the Blue Lake.
It was one of those things that when I got there too, I was like, I've never seen anything like this. Like, it's so refreshing when you get somewhere and it's new and you haven't, you know, seen anything else like it anywhere else.
Yeah.
And that's why, because those, all the hanging vines that were coming down everywhere, it was almost like there were little secret hideaway spots inside there everywhere too.
Yeah, little nooks and crannies, and you could go kind of sit and look at the sinkhole from one angle, then you could go to the other side, and you'd see something new in the corner. You're like, oh, that's like a really pretty flower, or like you said, very unique. I never experienced anything like that before.
Yeah, and it was free. My favorite.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, anything free. That's like, road trips are cheap anyways, but on the way, there's so much free stuff you can do, and this is one of them. Go to the sinkhole, stay in the prison, skip the Blue Lake. Unless you're there between what?
December to March.
There you go.
Okay, can I tell you my favorite part of the whole trip, because of one particular moment,
right,
is coming up. Because we ventured from Mount Gambier into Robe. And Robe is like this really quaint oceanside town. And it's very known for like seafood and dining out. And,
yes,
you know, little walks along the water.
Yeah. This is where we were going to be like two very like civilized women. Go have a glass of wine with dinner and have a little stroll in the town.
Yes. And so we got an Airbnb that was almost right along the strip. So it was like just a couple hundred meters walk there. So we checked in, got ready really quick. And it was pretty funny because we're like, oh, I wonder what the guy who runs this place does. Like, he's really... like, he was quite lovely. And then as we were getting ready to go, I remember you being like, Steph, come here. And we look out the window, and he was blowing into his car to get it started. Yeah.
So he got into... he sat down in the car, and I kind of looked down, and, yeah, he basically picked up a breathalyzer and blew into it to get the car going. And I'm like... all right. He's that kind of guy. Cool. And no judgment. But I was like, cool.
Yeah.
He likes to have a drink or two.
It was just one of those unexpected moments where you're like, okay.
It was quite funny. So I remember I don't remember the guy's name, but we were staying at his house. So we got an Airbnb, like one of the rooms in his house. And we had said to him, you know, where should we go out? Obviously, there's not a lot of places to go out in Robe because it's such a tiny, tiny little town.
Yeah.
And so he had suggested, he's like, oh, there's, you know, there's a couple pubs. So here's a couple places you can go for dinner. But you should definitely go into this pub. He's like, my son works there. So he said that he had a son.
Yeah.
And he didn't mention how old his son was or anything. So he said, oh, my son works there. He works, picks up some shifts here and there. We're like, okay.
Assuming he's a couple years younger than us.
We're thinking like in his 20s, whatever. So we go to this pub. And Steph and I, you know, once again, we start having a few drinks. And there's this guy behind the bar. And he looks probably about, like, 25, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, mid-20s. And we're ordering drinks. And he's being, you know, pretty chatty with us.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, in my head, small town, he's the only one behind this bar where he said his son works that looks like he could be his son. You know, everyone else, I think, was a little bit older or, like, women.
Yeah.
So I'm like...
process of elimination, obviously, who we're looking for. So we're chit-chatting to him. And then out of nowhere, we hit a point where we've had a number of drinks. So we're like, okay, we're going to confirm that this is, in fact, his son. And you just out of nowhere look at him and go, so are we coming home with you tonight?
That was it.
And he was like... I mean, if you both want to come home with me. And this was not his son at all. You actually had context to why you were asking this question. Like, are we coming back to your house because we think we were staying at your dad's place? But he, who was not related to this man at all, was just asked by some girl if the two of us could go home with him.
Yep. Yeah. I was like, the funny part was I was so certain that this was Henry that I didn't even... check to even ask first. The first question should have been, are you Henry? Not, are we coming home with you tonight?
I mean, at least he was down.
I mean, yeah, apparently. I'm like, yeah, still got it. But then I proceeded to say, wait, are you Henry? He said, no, I'm not Henry.
And then you crush him by being like, we don't want to come home with you.
No. But I do feel like we had some drinks with him afterwards where he was... really trying to push it, and we were like, no, you're too young. But the best part was, so after we did have some lovely drinks out in Robe, some dinner, we returned to the Airbnb to which we met Henry because he was there. Henry was about 12 years old. Henry was a barback.
Washes the dishes.
Just would
here.
Like wash the dishes and picked up glasses at like 12 or 13. So we walked in and we said to our Airbnb host, oh, we thought that we met Henry in the bar tonight. He goes, oh no, Henry's there. He was playing video games as a fucking 12 year old does. And he looked 12. We're like, oh, hi, Henry. Nice to meet you. Yeah. I did not ask him, are we coming home with you tonight?
Although we did technically.
Yes, but that sounds wrong.
See, and this is why the best thing I wish I could tell everyone about road trips is to always just, as much as you plan, you need to go with things when they happen. Because yeah. We still to this day call the bartender Henry because we don't know his name. But
no.
Henry told us, because he was like, oh, where else are you girls going? We're like, oh, we're heading towards Adelaide. He's like, when you get to Adelaide, you have to go to White Feather Winery and ask yes. for Moondog. And we're like,
Moondog. Okay. It sounded like some code. And we're like, who is this elusive Moondog? Like, who's called Moondog? So we're obviously, we're like, well, we have to go there. And we did. So once we drove to Adelaide, the first place we went was this winery. And we were not disappointed.
For anyone going to Adelaide, go check out White Feather Winery.
If when people think winery, they think quite... I don't know. Like, we did a few of them, didn't we, Steph? Where we go, and it's quite elegant, and they're like, here's some cheese, and yes. here's some nuts with your wine, and wine tasting. This was not like that at all.
No. We pull in, and immediately I see this, like, old, eccentric-looking man with white hair down to his chest, and instantly we're like, this has to be Moondog. Like, if ever there was a man... you would call Moondog, this was it.
He was just like a hippie, like an Australian hippie farmer. He had a winery. You walked up, he had art everywhere, wood carvings, wind chimes everywhere. It was the most unique winery I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah, it was, and it was amazing. And he basically spoiled us. He gave us, the wine did not stop flowing. He actually had a trailer on site if people needed to sleep off drinking too much before they drove.
Which we almost did. Almost.
The wine kept flowing. He like makes olive oil there. He gave us some free olive oil. There was just so much that he did there. It is a very interesting place. And I recommend anyone go there.
You know, we're missing the whole part as well that he actually does make wine there. And it actually is a functioning winery, and you go and he wants you to try all the different wines, but you're not just getting a sample of two or three. It was like, here, try this one, try this one, try this one. Make sure your glass is full all the time.
Yeah.
He gave us a tour around the actual winery, which he basically told us how much money he had, which I thought was hilarious. but he was one of those guys. He's like, yeah, I got enough money. That's why I don't care. Come over. Drink as much wine as you want. Mm-hmm. Because, hey, guess what winery we're talking about now on a podcast?
True.
But honestly, the coolest guy. I remember we had a little jam session inside.
Yeah,
he had like
right.
a little bar area. He had a guitar. So I picked up the guitar because I play a little bit. And we played guitar together. Like, it was just the funnest wine tasting experience I've ever had, because the wine tasting experience then turned into just an experience with new people recommended from someone else we met in the town before that.
Yes. Well worth the visit. From Adelaide, we spent a day in Point Harbor, and that was another one of the unexpected. We went for the penguin tours, really, which the penguin tour was at night. And we got there quite early, so we're like, let's just see what's around here. And one of the things I find everyone coming to visit Australia wants to see is the wildlife, obviously.
Yeah. I had never seen a kangaroo.
There
before.
Was
and
a
Steph's like, they're everywhere. And I'm like, well, and to be fair, I hadn't really seen any yet.
Yeah.
Because you said that, and I was thinking we were going to see them everywhere, and I didn't see one yet. So we found
a wildlife sanctuary that kangaroos galore, and I've never seen anything like this in my 3 years in Australia. Yeah. You were a kangaroo whisperer.
These kangaroos, they were all over me. and I had like at one point probably like 50 kangaroos surrounding me. Mm-hmm. Where I got a little bit intimidated.
You did,
because I went from never seeing a kangaroo that up close and personal to having 50 of them around me. And some of them were pretty big. And I'm like, these are the ones that come up and like punch you in the face. But this was one of those cool little finds because, again, we just had time to kill. Mm-hmm. And again, I think we saw a sign or something and we're thinking like, oh, okay, an animal sanctuary. Like there's not, it'll be one of those. You really got to like look around. You won't really spot many animals. They were everywhere. And the kangaroos literally just roam the park. And so I remember when we walked in, we bought the tickets. And the tickets were pretty cheap as well.
Yeah. It was like 10, 12 bucks. 10, yeah.
Yes, maybe. And I said to the lady, like, oh, you know, I'm from Canada. I really want to see a kangaroo. She was like, she just kind of rolled her eyes. She's like, don't worry. You'll see a kangaroo in there.
Yeah.
And she did not lie. But these kangaroos then just would not stop following me. Like, everywhere we went. I was like Khaleesi, mother of kangaroos. That was me.
Well, and it's funny because we did the episode with Zoos Victoria where we talked about ethical animal encounters. And when I think about all the things that Dr. Sherwin said, they really did there. Like, the animals had the choice. They didn't have to be near you if they didn't want to. And they wanted to be near you. They had no interest in me. Like,
yeah.
And I had food, too. It was all you.
Yeah, I don't know. I sometimes do have this effect on certain animals.
Kangaroo pheromones.
Kangaroos, apparently. I wish my cats. I mean, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I've got two cats now, and I wish they loved me as much as these kangaroos do. My cats don't give a shit about me. They're like, feed me, human, and then they just fuck off and go play with each other. Like, all right.
I just had a flashback. Point Harbor was amazing. We saw the penguins that night, and it's really interesting the story that's happening with the penguins there because a number of them have died, and they don't know why because they tracked them all.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things going on with the penguins, too, that I feel like we actually learned a lot. Like, that penguin tour at Point Harbor was probably actually one of the favorite ones I've done. But then on the drive home, because we didn't take Great Ocean Road back, we just drove up the highway and we stopped halfway in Bordertown. Remember, there was kangaroos humping you in Bordertown too.
Oh, yes. So this is where I really got my kangaroo fix at the tail end of our road trip, where I had, you know, hadn't seen any kangaroos previously, to then being basically at the end propositioned by kangaroos. So, yeah, stopped in Bordertown. Bordertown, again, one of those places, not anything there, really.
We weren't going to stay there. Originally, I thought we'd stay in Horsham because that's halfway. I just figured it's a stop. But when I zoomed out on Airbnb, there was this one little place out in a place called Bordertown. I'm like, what is this random little place off on its own? And it was actually the Safe Haven Wildlife Sanctuary.
Yes. So this is where this was another place that we had stayed, where you can book on Airbnb. And we stayed in a little, just a little trailer. So Steph and I shared a bed, we snuggled up together, but you actually stay in an animal sanctuary. And obviously they have kangaroos there.
Yep.
And these kangaroos, once again, were all over me. And there was like some big ones, and there was the one guy, I can't remember his name. They all had names. It was really cute. He was like really trying to get up in my business.
So the owner's name is Trina, and she was so funny. She was like, you got to watch out for that one. He doesn't know if he wants to fuck you or fight you.
Yes. Yeah. Because one minute he's got his fists up, and then the next minute he's like grabbing
aggressively humping you.
Yeah. And yeah, Trina was like, no, genuinely. Like, that's what's going through his mind. So be careful. I'm like, oh, God, okay. But it was quite a funny little place because they had, there was like wombats running around everywhere. And the wombats, was it wombats?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And they, like, a lot of them lived in the house.
Yes.
With the family. So at one point when we got there, they also have like tons of dogs. And there's these like three little wiener dogs. I think there's like wiener dogs are, I mean, they were quite small. I can't remember the actual breed of the dog, but they were running up to us at the trailer like, hello, welcome to our home. And then there's this little wombat that's like running with them. And I'm like, what is, I'd never seen a wombat. And it was really cute because the dogs and the wombat were all playing together. And I was like, oh, that's cute. The wombat thinks it's a dog.
Yeah.
And it was trying to keep up with the dogs, but obviously not as fast. Because the wombat's quite girthy. But later on, then we got to go into the house. And so they had some baby kangaroos in there
mm-hmm.
that they were obviously, they'd been rescued from wherever and they were sort of like nursing them back to health. Yeah. But then I also got to feed one of the wombats on the couch.
You had it like a baby in your lap, bottle feeding
it. I did. And when you say baby wombat, like they're pretty big still. Like, again, pretty girthy. But there's a great photo of me where I'm just sort of chilling on the couch feeding a wombat.
It was very cute. And then I was bottle feeding the baby kangaroo because obviously it's an animal sanctuary. She takes in rescues. So a lot of times when a kangaroo dies, they have joeys in their pouches. So when they're so young, she has them in the house to kind of rear them until they're old enough to be out on their own.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, just, you know, put that kangaroo to sleep, just hold the pouch and it will roll in instinctively. And I just grab a pouch thing, put it towards the kangaroo, it rolls in, and just, I don't know what I grabbed, but it wasn't a pouch. And this kangaroo instinctively rolled into it and then immediately rolled out and fell onto the floor because it wasn't a pouch. Like, I was like, oh, I'm doing this wrong.
Yeah, Steph basically almost broke a baby kangaroo. Oh. But he was fine. He was fine. They were all fine. And it was really funny just being in this house because there's like, they had birds in there. They had wombats. They had kangaroos. They had dogs.
Five Dachshunds. It was, five Dachshunds.
That was it. Not wiener dog. Yeah. And Trina is married and has kids. And they're all just chilling on the couch watching TV. And I'm like, wow, this is their normal. Like, this is a normal Saturday night for this family. And Trina's like making dinner and there's just two random girls in their house feeding the wombat. I mean, we probably were taking some of the chores off of the kids by feeding the wombat and the kangaroo. They were probably like, oh, thank God we brought visitors that will do this for us. Yeah. While we're sitting there being like, we have paid you to come in and do these chores for you. But it was awesome. It was so much fun. I'm so happy that we stayed in Bordertown because, again, there's not much to do there. But if you're doing this road trip, stop in, stay at Trina's sanctuary because not only is it like the animals that they have, which are, again, they've got kangaroos, they've got wombats. I mean, what else did they have? They had tons of other stuff, didn't they?
Yeah, they had a number of rescues. They even had that albino kangaroo that was beautiful.
Yes, and it was so fun. And, you know, just being around, you know, if you're an animal lover, obviously being around animals and waking up in the morning and getting to go and feed them is cool. But also, like, their family was just so fun and just the nicest people.
Yeah, it was a great end to a great trip.
Yeah, so we left there and then we cruised back to Melbourne where I said my goodbyes. And I flew back to the UK. And I am super excited at some point when we can travel again to come back to Australia because, Steph, we're going to do another road trip.
Yes. We.
Where are we going to go next time?
I'll plan something. Yes. I'm working on it.
But next time, maybe we can go see all 12 apostles. I'm just going to put that out there.
We should probably do that.
All the Shit I've Learned Abroad is a travel podcast focused on anything and everything related to travel. You can listen to us on multiple platforms from iTunes to Google Play Music and more. And with that, please, if you have a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That drives us up the charts and really, really helps us out. Want to support us on Patreon? Find us over at Shit I've Learned Abroad Pod and donations start as low as just $1. Also, if you could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit Abroad Pod and Facebook by searching All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. Thanks so much for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.